Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have the high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we do have one who is tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet without sin, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
You know, it would have been a marvellous get-out if Joe had said, I'm going to invite Andy up to say a few words, because then I was guaranteed a short sermon. I'll be honest, as it is, it's not going to be the world's longest sermon anyway, because having done a few of these now, I've realised I can't do a Mike Pilavachi sermon, and one of the things that I'm always amazed by at Soul Survivor is the fact that every morning and evening, everybody that is there gathers normally into one big tent. This year, because there were actually so many of us, we gathered into one very large arena, and then there was a smaller tent for some others, but that still wasn't quite enough, so then there were even more that had to gather in another venue as well, which was normally a coffee shop. So three places for people to gather, thousands and thousands of young people sat listening to not just Mike, but a number of different speakers go on for about, I'd say 45 minutes would be a short session. So I am no Mike Pilavachi, that is quite clear, for a number of reasons. But I did feel this evening it would be wrong to have a Soul Survivor feedback service and not have some kind of Mike Pilavachi thing. So I've gone with the top. Evie has joined me, which is wonderful. This is Mike's staple top that he wears at Soul Survivor. If you ever see him wearing anything different, it's only because he's in fancy dress. So this is normal. This isn't fancy dress. Anyway, I have a question. Who here is fond of magic? And without looking, I know that there's at least one person over in that corner that's very fond of magic. In fact, Luke even does a lot of magic. I would have, had I thought about this sooner, I would have asked him to come up and give us a trick, but that would be very unfair right now because he doesn't know. But hands up if you are a fan of magic, or at least watching magic be performed, whether it's a small card trick or the disappearing of a train or something like that. A few people. Not as many as I would have thought, if I'm entirely honest. But maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that is a good thing. Now, this evening, our passage is following in the evening sermon series that we've been having, which is looking at God working in us. And this evening, the title is God Sharing Our Lives. And realistically, I don't actually have to say much because our passage pretty much says everything that I need to say. However, a couple of thousand years ago, one and some hundred years, there was a heresy within the very early church. And that was a heresy which was called Docetism. Some people may have heard of this term. If I'm saying the word entirely wrong, I apologize for butchering the Greek language. But Docetism basically said that Jesus, while he was on earth, his body, the things that he went through, including the crucifixion, was basically a giant magic trick, just a complete illusion. They believed that actually he was nothing more than a spirit, and everything that you saw of him, his physical human body, the trials that he went through, the food that he ate, all that kind of stuff, was nothing more than a massive illusion. It never really happened. Had that been true, it would be entirely pointless for us to sit here this evening and think about this, because actually it would make our entire faith completely pointless. But thankfully, the rest of the church saw this for what it was, a heresy, something that was completely wrong. And they said, no, this is wrong. Jesus clearly was a human being. Not only were there hundreds of witnesses to the fact, all of the scriptures from the New Testament attest to the fact that he was a human being. He ate food. He probably went to the toilet, although there's no records of that in the Gospels. And as our passage says, he was tempted in ways that we ourselves are tempted as well. Now, something that's going to make this evening a lot easier is for you to have a Bible to hand. So please, if there is a Bible near you, could you grab one? If there aren't enough Bibles, there are some at the far ends of the pews. There are some over there as well. If you do not have a Bible and you would like a Bible, put up your hand and I will send some runners to bring you a Bible. And we're very first going to actually turn to the passage that we are looking at, which is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. It's at the bottom of page 1203. So I'll give you a second to find that. And I am going to try and wear my glasses, but I have realized that wearing my glasses whilst wearing this microphone doesn't really work because it goes over my ears. They have a tendency to slip off, so... So, it starts, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." Which immediately gets me thinking, if the author is saying, since we have a high priest, this can't be the first time that they've mentioned this idea of there being Jesus as a great high priest. And it isn't. The first time this crops up is actually at the end of chapter number 2. So we're going to jump back. Literally, you don't even have to turn the page in the Bible, hopefully, if you've got the new ones. We're going to jump back to the end of chapter 2. And once again, we're going to start at verse number 17. So, from verse 17, it says, "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." So, essentially there in that one verse, you have the entirety of my sermon. So if you can't remember anything else I say, just remember Hebrews 2, verse 17. There we go. Because it says, not only is Jesus a great high priest, someone whose job it was to make sacrifices for the people, not just for the people of Israel, but actually for the whole world, so that they could be led into the presence of God and into a new and right relationship with him. But unfortunately, I'm not talking about the priestly ministry of Christ this evening. I'm talking about how he shared our lives. So for that, we're going to be looking primarily at verse number 15 of chapter 4. But also, it's also covered in this end bit of Hebrews chapter 2 as well. So I'm just going to jump back to verse 14 of chapter 2, where it says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For it surely is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants." Hebrews 4:15 talks about the fact that not only was Christ human, but that he was exactly the same as us, someone who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, because just like us, he was tempted. We know some of the obvious temptations, if you want to have a look at them. Matthew chapter 4 lists the three main temptations of Christ when the devil came to him and gave him various trials, and he did resist them using the power of God's word. But actually, those aren't the only times that he was tempted. He was tempted, as it says, just like we are, every day, in every situation. And on Monday morning, when I was praying with Anthony and Wendy, we were having a brief chat about this passage. And we were saying that, although Jesus was God, that didn't necessarily mean that him resisting temptation was easier than it is for us. It's very easy for us to say, "Oh well, he was completely God as well as being completely man. So when he was tempted, actually, he could just use his God powers and resist them. Whereas actually, I kind of think the complete opposite. Because he was completely God, actually, his temptations were multiplied. Because he had that power to do literally whatever he wanted, it took even more self-control and perseverance to resist those temptations. And particularly, I think this is apparent in things where the temptations are to do with ego. Quite frequently, we read about in the Gospels Jesus having loads of crowds gathered around him, a bit like the multitude we have here at the front gathered around the microphones. Jesus was constantly being surrounded by crowds, and it would have been very easy for him to just continue in that vein and just constantly amass more and more people. But he didn't. He resisted. He went and he found places of solitude where he could be by himself with God. And so that also means that when we're tempted to say, well, Jesus didn't quite suffer the same things we do, actually, it can silence those things as well, because he does still face the same things we do. We're tempted with the same things of ego, of desire, of putting ourselves ahead of others, of just thinking of the self in the same way that he was. But it wasn't just so that he could come and experience our temptations, experience our way of life, that he came. Actually, he came so that we may have a new life. And I'm just going to ask Rachel to come up. Because although this evening we're thinking about Christ coming and sharing our lives, something that we're constantly called to do through the Gospels is actually to do the inverse of that. Not only are we called so that Christ can come and share our life, but actually we're called to take part in Christ's life as well. And that, I believe, is one of the main things that Soul Survivor enables and helps people to do. So I'm just going to ask Rachel to quickly share some of her reflections from Soul Survivor this year, because it wasn't quite the same as the first time you came last year, was it?
So Soul Survivor this year was a very different experience for me. I went, this is my second time at Soul Survivor. Mike Pilavarci always used to be in the big top, and he used to ask if there was anyone who felt they wanted to come up to the front and give their life to Jesus. And I always said to my husband, Andrew, I really don't understand this part of the service. Surely we've already given our lives to Jesus because we're all Christians. And I never thought anything about it more until this year. I went to a few seminars and listened to many people speak. And as I went to Asda every morning to get food for this lovely lot here, I had lots of time on my hands and lots of things for me to process in my head. So on the last day of Soul Survivor, I went to a seminar with Vienna about getting the youth to attend the church, which was really inspiring and again had sparked a little flame inside of me. So during the prayers at the end, I had my eyes closed, my head bowed down, and I felt this overwhelming force trying to knock me over. At first, I thought, oh, maybe I'm just kind of wobbling, and I tried to regain my balance. But there it was again, an overwhelming feeling of force trying to knock me over. After I left the seminar, it got me thinking. People talk about feeling the Holy Spirit at work. Was this what I was feeling? I don't know. So all day I pondered on what it was, and before I came to Soul Survivor, Andy Page approached me and asked me whether I would join him and be his little partner in crime to work on bringing the youth into the church, which I was very honoured to be asked, and of course said yes, I would. I then had a realisation that this force that I was feeling was God telling me that I had made the right decision and that I was ready to take my faith seriously and to the next level. I got baptised and confirmed on the same day when I was 30 and called myself a Christian, but actually, what did that truly mean to me? I gave this again a great deal of thought and started to understand what Mike Pilavarci was talking about every evening in the big top. So that night, dressed as a judo warrior ninja, as we do on the last night for fancy dress, we all headed off to the Big Top, and that moment came when Mike Pilavarci called all those people up who wanted to go to the front and give their life to Jesus. And without hesitation, I stood up, and I knew this is what I needed to do and what I was ready for. Back at the tent, I was asked, "How are you feeling, Rachel? Oh my goodness, you got up, amazing." I honestly can say I felt different. I felt full of life, full of energy, and I felt like I was on fire. The next morning was the day we were leaving to go home, very sad, and I still had this excitement and this fire inside of me, and I felt truly amazing. I still have that fire inside of me, and I look at the daily life, my daily life, very differently to before. It has changed the way I look at God and at the way I worship him on a Sunday. So I decided to set myself a challenge to read the Bible in a year. I've never read the Bible before, so I'm reading the Bible in a year, and I have never looked back since, and I can't wait to go back next year.
Thank you, Rachel. So although that's just the account of one person from Soul Survivor, I know because I've had feedback, mostly from parents, I'll be honest, about their children when they returned, saying, actually, there's something different about my child. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. It was Jesus. But there's just something different about them. Since they went away to Soul Survivor, having returned, they're acting differently. In some cases, it might have been that they were slightly kinder towards their siblings. So if parents, you're thinking, how can I get my child to be more kind to their siblings? Send them to Soul Survivor. But it may have been in just a way that's hard to describe or articulate. But in the same way as Rachel went forwards, she responded to that call to actually come and follow Christ. That was what was happening at Soul Survivor, not just for us that went from here, but actually for everyone that went. There was about, I think, 14,000 people that were there that week at Soul Survivor. For every single one of them, whether they knew it or not, that is something that was happening. And for the majority, they were hearing this call to come, to follow Christ, to be involved in the life that he has for them. And they were responding to that call. And that is a call that goes out to each and every one of us again this evening. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to give our lives to Christ again, because once we've done that, we've done it. But what it might mean is just saying once again this evening, Lord, help me to follow you more. Help me to partake in your life more. Now, as I draw to a close, there are two commands that the author gives us in these three verses, which is pretty much on Paul's standards. The first one comes in verse number 14. Can we possibly have verse 14 on the screens? Is that possible? There we go. So it starts with the let us. So it says, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. And what it doesn't mean is let us hold firmly so we smother it and it dies. What it means is let us be sure of it. Let us hold on to it and know that it cannot be shaken. And at the same time, profess it, make it known to others. Go out and do what Jesus did. Share and spread the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God, that it is here, that it is available to everyone. And the second thing happens in verse number 16. We haven't really touched on verse 16 yet, but the whole of verse 16 is the second command. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, whether you realize it or not, we have this evening been approaching the throne of grace through our worship, through hearing the word of God, hopefully through what I've been saying this evening and what Rachel shared. And we're going to have ample opportunity to do that still this evening. But it's so that we can receive something from God. It's not so that we can just go there and be with him. That is a fantastic thing. But it's because God actually wants to give us whatever it is that we need for our lives at the moment. That might be something to help us through difficulty. It might be something really quite simple. But we're going to give you an opportunity to do that shortly. But first, what we are going to do is we're actually going to vocalize the faith that we profess. It's summarized in the creed, and we are going to sing of this through the words of